Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop. It's true. It is another Monday, and we've got a holiday season upon us. We've got tons of food, tons of football, tons of fun to talk about. Joining me, as he has for the last 6 years, when he's not texting, Jeffrey with a G, Jeffrey Craver. Hey, man. So we've had a couple of drinks already. We've had a couple of things to eat. Joining us, our friend Chef Rock in from Hawaii to talk about Hawaiian food.
Aloha.
And our friend Coach Jim Fossil.
Good to be with you.
Yeah. Former head coach of the New York Giants, all kinds of stuff to talk about. Football. Let's talk about last night's debacle last night.
Well, it wasn't really a debacle.
It was for us because we bet on the game.
We did bet on the game. I know. We missed it by a point. But it tells you how good Vegas is at making the lines, right? Total was 47, came in at 46. Spread was 6.5, 7. They won by 6. These guys know how to make their lines, believe me.
Yeah, it sounds like it, yes.
So tonight we've got
the Panthers at Redskins.
Tonight. But did you want to talk about last night's game?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it was a great game. I thought that Dallas came back really strong after losing to the Giants the week before. I'm sure you'll keep a close eye on your former team. Obviously, there was a lot of speculation in the news about Dak Prescott. Should they bring Romo back? What's going to happen? What's Jerry Jones going to say? Coach, I'm interested. What's your take on all of it?
Well, I'd stick with Dak. I would. I mean, the guy's a rookie, and he surprised everybody. Nobody could have said this guy's going to be that good. And as a rookie, I mean, he made some mistakes. Okay,
it happens.
Hey, anybody? Tom Brady makes mistakes too, but
I'm
you can't
a Patriots
crucify
fan
the guy
all the time. And he's lost to the Giants a couple times too.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, listen, as a sports fan, I love my Patriots, but one of the worst games of my life was that undefeated season Super Bowl, the catch off Tyree's head.
David Tyree, yeah. I drafted him.
Really?
I drafted him as a special teams player that I thought he'd be one of the five receivers we'd play with.
That's unbelievable. Rodney Harrison was draped all over him. He came down like Velcro with the ball to his helmet. And as you know, the rest is history. Plax catches the touchdown. It's all over.
You know, and one quick story on David Tyree. When he was a rookie, he came into the team meeting about 15 minutes late. So at the end of the meeting, I told the coach, his receiver coach, to have him up in my office. So he came up. I said, David, you're late. He said, I know, coach. I just got... here late. I said, well, that'd be $5,000. Okay. He looked at me like I was a ghost or something. He said, $5,000 for 15 minutes? I said, yep. And if you do it again, I double it. I can by the rules.
Yeah.
He just was shocked, and looked like he was mad at me.
Sure.
Okay. The next morning, I'm in my office at 6 o'clock. Who walks in is David Tyree. Coach, could I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah, sit down. He said, I just want to tell you thank you for finding me.
Wow.
What? You're thanking me? He goes, yeah, because my mother told me I have to come and apologize to you and thank you for doing it, because if he didn't find you, you might still do it more than once, and then you'll be kicked out of the NFL.
Good for him.
That's the only guy that's
ever... a rookie to have the maturity to come back to coach next day, 6 o'clock in the morning, and say, thanks for teaching me a lesson.
I've never had any player. I find players. Nobody's come back to thank me. Now, but shows that, you know, he trusts his mother, and she's right.
Shortly thereafter, after the Super Bowl, I mean, he was a hero in New York. We didn't see him in the NFL anymore. What happened?
I don't know. A guy's got to mature on and on and on. And I drafted him as a great special teams player. And I thought when he came in, he would make our team as probably the fifth receiver. And then the next year, I want to see him move up to the fourth receiver,
sure,
and to the third receiver, the maturation part of it. And then I was gone, and I don't know why they cut him.
So given what you're seeing in the NFC East right now, Giants are playing great at, what, 10-4? Dallas is 12-2. How do you think this plays out?
Well, I think the Giants will get in as a wild card.
Yeah.
And obviously Dallas, I think they're going to win the division. So they're going to go in, and they're going to go in too with two pretty good quarterbacks too.
Yeah,
and that if you get in the playoffs and you lose your quarterback, man, that's a dagger in the heart.
Absolutely, and the Giants' defense, as we know from the past, they start playing well towards the end of the year. They just mow through the rest of the playoffs and the Super Bowl as well, as we've seen. They just play great, even without JPP.
Yeah. You know, that's always a signature. Every team has something about them that they're always going to be good. And the Giants' defense is
big
generally
blue,
always
it's
good.
Always defense. And now Eli's, what, 13 years into his career?
Yeah.
He's still hanging in there, man. I don't know how he does it.
I don't either. And, you know, I get a lot of people that want me to evaluate quarterbacks because that's what I did for
a living.
Your
specialty,
okay.
Yeah.
And they asked me one time, do you think he's an elite quarterback? And I said, I got to say this. I like the guy, but I don't think he's an elite quarterback, simply because an elite quarterback, in my mind, can take the team and just lift them up, no matter how many injuries and everything else.
On his own.
On his own. You got a Tom Brady and, you know.
Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees.
You got them all there. And they can take a team all the way.
Yeah.
I think he needs a run game, and I think he needs good defense.
And great defense. And a little bit of luck.
Yeah. That, mix that in, always good.
A little bit of luck never hurts. Someone once said, I'd rather be lucky than smart.
Yeah.
That was my father, I think he said that.
Oh, yeah.
Again, our guest, Jim Fossil. James Edward Jim Fossil, born August 31st, 1949. Now, if any of this is wrong, correct me. An American former head coach of the NFL's New York Giants, served as offensive coordinator for other NFL teams, head coach, general manager, and president of Las Vegas Locomotives United Football League.
That is correct.
We're on so far. Graduated from Anaheim High School and played quarterback at Fullerton College, USC.
Yes.
And Long Beach State.
Yes.
Was drafted in the seventh round by my Chicago Bears in the 1972 NFL draft.
Yeah, Abe Gibron was the head coach.
Abe Gibron. I dated some women that had the same body type.
And her name was Abe.
he got on the scale right ahead of me, and he must have weighed 320. I was 5 pounds overweight, and I got fined. That's not fair.
Yeah, well, he wasn't on the field. Yeah, my ex-wife. Fossil played briefly with the Hawaiians of the WFL, World mm-hmm. Football League,
yep.
in 74, became an assistant coach during the 74 WFL season, left the WFL after the 74 season, but briefly returned when the Hawaiians needed a quarterback late in 1975 season.
Yes.
We think we were talking about the Hawaiians earlier.
Yeah.
Played in the final game of the WFL for the Hawaiians, throwing the last pass in the league's history as the WFL folded 3 days later on October 22nd, 1975.
What I've said, New York asked me that, the media, one of the first press conferences. I said, I will not confirm that or deny it. That's so far back, I don't even remember what was the end of the game.
1975, I don't remember 1975. You began your coaching career with assistant coaching stints at University of Utah?
Yes.
Stanford University?
Yes.
working with John Elway at Stanford?
I recruited John, coached him the whole time there.
Wow. Holy smokes, huh?
Mm-hmm. I had to get him. Because he can make me look like a good coach.
Yeah, right?
You never think of that, right? As a coach, you draft great players to make you look great.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Served as head coach of Utah. Fossil's first professional coaching job was with the Hawaiians, the World Football League 74, where you played quarterback before moving to the sidelines as an offensive assistant coach. You were telling us that story. You want to repeat that story again? Because we were off the air when we told that.
Well, it was Saturday morning, and I got a call. At 3 in the morning, and it was Mike Giddings, the head coach and general manager, and he called me to look up players, find them for him while he's over there. And my wife's going, who is it? Who is it? I said, it's Mike Giddings, and she knew that I did some work for him over there. So he said that Sonny Sixkiller and Rick Casada, the two quarterbacks he had, they came in and made a power play for more money. And Mike said, no, I'm not paying you more money. And they said, all right, we're leaving. No, you're not leaving. I fired you.
And, so now he has no QB.
And he said, I need you to come over and play tomorrow. I go, Mike, I still haven't had my knee fixed from when I played for you. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. I just got to make sure I got a round trip prepaid ticket and show me a certificate of insurance. And then I'll play. So I flew over there, and the first two guys I ran into was Pat Hayden and J.K. McKay. And I knew them. And they said, Jim, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going to play against you tomorrow. They go, what? You're going to play? You haven't played in a year. I said, well, I'm going to play in tomorrow. There we go.
Well, from there, you became a New York Giants head coach, and you served as assistant coach with the Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos, Giants, and Oakland Raiders. Is that all true?
Yes. Yes.
Boy, that Wikipedia is pretty good today.
Yeah.
Usually it's way off. During your tenure as head coach of the Giants, your team were known for numerous postseason runs in December, for winning big games against the previously undefeated Denver Broncos. 97, you were named NFL Coach of the Year.
That is correct.
Pretty darn good.
And I'll tell you one game that stands out.
Yeah, what?
Denver won the Super Bowl. We're into the next year. They got 14 games straight, okay? And Miami Dolphins, you know, that's their pride. All those guys, Bob Greasy, I mean, they want to hold on to that record.
Mercury.
Yeah.
Mercury talks about it every year.
Well, anyway, we beat them. And about 2-3 weeks later, in the mail, I got a Miami Dolphin jersey, number one, with fossil on the back, sent to me by Don Shula.
I'm sure. That's great.
You there was another story you were telling us about how you made you went on the air and you said you guaranteed it was your guarantee that you were going to go to the playoffs, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, and I was warned not to do it. And everybody thinks, did you rehearse this? Or I said no, it was all straight right from my gut.
What were you thinking there?
I had to make a move. We'd lost two games in a row, and we lost at home to the Detroit Lions, and our special teams was terrible.
How late in the season was it?
At the time, probably we were about, I want to say, 10 games in, because we won 8 straight after that with the playoffs. And but I knew I had to do something. So here's, everybody was, am I going to fire the special teams coordinator? I said, no, I'm not doing that. But I'll tell you one thing, fellas. I got in a team meeting, and I told him that. And then I said, I want the following 15 guys. Those are our core special teams guys, okay? Had him in a room, said, fellas, here's what I'm going to do. You know I cut the most valuable player on special teams from a year ago. I cut him because he wasn't playing good. So if you think you're safe, I'm going to cut two of you every week. If we don't play better on special teams, I'm going to cut two of you. I don't care who you are. I'm going to cut two, and I'll clean this room out. Okay? They looked at me, and a couple of the rookies went over to Strahan and Jesse Armstead and said, did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
He said, no, what did he tell you guys? He said he's going to cut two of us every week. The two guys got the lowest grade. He said, all I know is he is on a mission. I would not mess with him. He will do it.
Yep.
So you guys better pick it up.
And you didn't lose another game.
No, we went all the way to the Super Bowl, didn't lose another game.
That's amazing.
Now, we were talking about Coach Ditka earlier, who I had the pleasure of working with for a few years, and Ditka took umbrage with that, right?
Well, yeah, he said that, no, the Giants aren't good enough. I think he said they're not good enough, they're not tough enough, they got a tough schedule. I think Jim's totally wrong, and then I lashed out at him at the next press conference I had. And then they sent him over, and I did the pregame show on Saturday. He came over him. He didn't do interviews. You know, he was just a studio guy. And they sent him over, and Mike looked a little nervous doing it, you know.
But I've never seen Coach Ditka nervous about anything.
No, but I made sure. I told Pat Hanlon, our PR guy, I said, get one of the reporters to ask me about Ditka's comments. You know,
he wanted to make sure you addressed it.
Oh yeah. No question about it.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Well, we're gonna take our first commercial break. We're gonna come back with more Coach Jim Fassel and Chef Rock all the way from Hawaii.
Bada bing, bada boom, baby.
Listen to Vegas Nonstop here on KBAD 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
Where's Mario Manningham?
Okay, Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop Talking. It's Monday, and we've got Monday Night Football. We've got the Panthers at Redskins. Jeffrey, what's the line on that?
The Redskins are 7-point favorites at home, and the over-under is 50.5 points.
And your
51
position?
51 points.
You know, I'm going to take the under, but...
You know what? This is a tough game because typically with a team like Carolina, who went 15-1 last year, who went to the Super Bowl last year, to see them regress the way they have, you almost don't know what to do with them in certain situations. Their former cornerback, Josh Norman, left them and took a $75 million payday to go to the Redskins. So this is a bit of a, like I say, a revenge game, but there's going to be a lot of emotions in this game, which leads me to lean towards taking the points here with Carolina. Now, having said that, Cam Newton is not 100%. He's nursing some injuries, and the whole team just hasn't played very well at all. But I'm going to take Carolina with the points, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game because Washington's offense, Kirk Cousins, has done a really great job this year. They're averaging 33 points at home over the last few games. Here's a guy who took a bet on himself by taking a one-year deal, and man, is he going to cash in on that. He's just doing a fabulous job, and he's helping turn that organization around, along with a lot of other players, obviously.
Yeah. What's the weather forecast there?
Nothing like crazy, like low 30s, high 20s, but no precipitation. Nothing crazy like that.
Because they have had snow recently on the
Correct.
East Coast.
I've been watching it.
That could take the points down.
Well, that's what hurt us in Chicago.
Here's what's funny. I took the under in the Bears game against the Packers where it was minus 20 degrees. They put up over 50 points.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought it was going to be like throwing a rock, but somehow they managed to score.
All running.
Correct. Running. Well, except for that 60-yarder to Jordy Nelson in overtime. That set up the game-winning field goal by Mason. But you remember the playoff game with the Vikings in Seattle last year where he missed the field goal. It was like a 10-9 ball game.
Yeah.
But I don't think the weather's going to be an issue tonight, and both quarterbacks can air it out.
In studio, Coach Jim Fossil, Chef Rock in from Hawaii.
How are you doing?
We got to do a little business here. It's still shopping time, so we've got to take care of Big Dogs Brewing Company, still offering a special. Buy $100 and get $50. What the heck is this? I'm reading.
You know
this
you
right.
write your own there, copy,
it's,
right?
It's a gift card sale. It runs through December 24th and offers a $25 free gift card with a $75 purchase. It's available through the 26th or 25th, one of those. Same limitations as Black Friday. If you spend $1,000, I know. If you spend I got to write a new copy. If you're right,
you owe Kurt an apology.
You spend $1,000. In Big Dogs gift cards. If your corporation, you get $425 free. That's 702-368-3715, 368-3715, or go to bigdogsbrews.com. And we've got our wine club. We're going to do a wine tasting in La Jolla. So if you're interested in wine tasting, Chef
Rock, I'll be there.
You'll come to the wine.
I'll bring my own glass.
At the La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club.
Been there.
We're gonna do a wine tasting the end of February. So, is that in February? January. End of January. I don't know where
I
am.
You don't know where you are. You don't know what month it is.
I don't know where I am. Because Chef Rock, we went up to Chef Rock's suite at Trump Towers.
Well, don't blame it on the Bloody Marys.
I'm blaming it on the Bloody Mary. Steve Casarino, a.k.a. Chef Rock, been friends for 30 years. Celebrity chef and entertainer with over 30 years of professional experience in the kitchen. More than 20 years of exposure in both locally and nationally broadcasted television programs. Before your career as a chef, you were an amateur boxer?
Yeah, I fought a little in college.
Who didn't?
You know, I fought amateur. I have to tell you, my very first fight, I got kind of set up. It was supposed to be an exhibition at Silver Mitts. And my manager was Mr. X, the guy who wore the mask in wrestling. That should have been a sign of a failed career.
Yeah.
But he never showed up. I get in the ring. My roommate's my corner guy. I get in there, and I'm wearing, like, those white gym shorts. Remember those little ones back in 1977? And I get in the ring, and I should have known better when they start playing the music to Rocky, and this guy comes in wearing the robe. And I fought him off for the first round. I turned my head. He punched me in the back of the head, and I flew out of the ring.
Oh, my goodness.
6 feet into the second row. I knocked out 3 people, which goes on my record.
Yeah.
3-0. And that was pretty much the end of my career.
Playfully nicknamed Rocky by his friends. Enjoyed the competition. Wasn't too long before he decided a future in the kitchen was a safer bet than in the ring. Naturally, that hasn't kept his friends from calling him Rock ever since when the moment later presented himself. Celebrity chef, choice was easy, became Chef Rock. Your philosophy is your perspectives on food and life are one and the same, broadening horizons and experiencing new flavors in each every day.
You wrote that? I don't know if
I thought you would write it.
Well, actually, yes. That is kind of my philosophy.
All right.
You know, teaching people how to enjoy cooking.
Yeah, well, you know, we were just up in your suite, and that was great.
Yeah, did you like that?
Food.
That's right. That's my new company. It's called Goomba Imports. I'm with another Goomba, Salvatore Moretti.
Yeah.
So an Irish fella.
You're importing Italian guys from Italy.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. We got to get them in here before they build the wall.
Enjoying great food, great times in any endeavor. Chefs had a renowned restaurant, nationwide tasting tour. Credentialed graduate of Johnson & Wales University, degree in culinary arts.
Correct. My alma mater.
That's right.
Right.
Fellow brethren.
Classically trained at the esteemed La Petite La Cuisine in London.
Oh, right. My God. Don't ever do that again.
La Varenne.
La Varenne in Paris.
In Paris. Co-founder of the Clever Cleaver Brothers, which is when we met.
That's right.
Stand-up chefs that hosted a football season program called Tailgating.
That's right.
Frequently made appearances on variety shows, including Tonight Show, The View, and The Entertainment Tonight. And joining us now to talk. Who's your team? Football.
Patriots. You know, I grew up in Connecticut. Patriots fan. You know, the dilemma was you're right, you know, yeah. Connecticut, you're right in the middle.
Connecticut is one of those fence states where you're either a Boston fan or a New York fan, but you're not both.
I was Patriots and a Yankee fan.
That's
so
weird.
I kind of split it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was hated in both cities.
Bobby and I are both from Boston. It's Boston all the way, but I do have friends in Connecticut that some are Yankee fans, some are Red Sox fans.
But I remember we used to go to the games when I was at Jay Wales, and that's the old stadium with the aluminum seats, which is always nice.
In Pawtucket.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not,
Yeah, the Paw Sox.
Yeah, that sucked.
Well, you know, we've had, during baseball season, we had Mike Bryant, Chris Bryant's dad on.
We did.
So now, Jim, I've got to ask you a little bit to talk about your son getting the coaching gig for the Rams.
Well, he's excited, and I think when I got word that they had let Jeff Fisher go, about 10 minutes later, I got media calls, and they said, we've got a rumor that your son's going to be named as the interim head coach. And I sat there and I was going, wow. I mean, but it makes sense because for the 5 years they've been together, their shining star has been the special teams. They've been really good on special teams. They've set NFL records. And I know the players like him. I know they do. And I know the owner likes him. I know the front office likes him. And so, you know, they made him that. And then I was really excited. And he told me last week, he said, Dad, you know, I was on the sideline for you. I want you on the sideline for me. So I booked a flight real quick, and I got his wife, and we got a flight up there on Thursday. And then he says, you're going home on the team plane. I said, that's my Christmas present. Because, you know, the game's at night, so I'd have to spend the night. And then I was talking to his secretary, Donna, and she said, Jim, how are you getting from the stadium to the hotel? I said, know. I haven't figured that one out because without a car, without anything else.
Uber.
But anyway, it all worked out because he said, you're on the plane.
Nice.
That must have been fun. Did you get to hang out with some of the players and talk to them on the way back?
No. I wasn't exactly sitting in the front of the bus. Okay? You know, we were together, you know. And we had two of us in a three-seat aisle. And, you know. Most time, those guys up there, they got their headsets on and they're sleeping or something.
What was Jeff's take? Obviously, it's a very it was a stressful situation being thrown in like that, having to prepare on a short week. Having you on the sideline must have been a very comforting feeling for him. What was he like after the game going back?
Well, you know, he handles everything so level. You know, if he beats somebody 49-0, he's the same guy. He's not walking around pounding his chest, hey, we're the greatest. And the same thing, I told him that a long time ago. There's a few things that I've told him, is that it's hard to keep level in the NFL because you are up and down, and you're going to have some bad losses and some lucky wins and all that stuff, and you just got to keep level. But the one thing he's followed that I've said to him a long time ago, the players don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Well said. And they respect that.
Yeah, and they respect that. And the players like him. And I knew he was going to try to trick plays. The problem was it was 32 degrees. And that quarter, the Hecker, his punter, John got him. He was a free agent. And John got him there. And he's an ex-quarterback. And he's made some of the best throws I've ever seen from a punting position.
Sure.
And it was 32 degrees. He got the ball, and he just, you know, and he just threw it short. Because if he had got it to him,
he was gone.
That guy's gone.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew he had to do some of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you change it up a bit and you keep the other team on their toes.
Well, it had to be a proud moment for you, for sure. You know, and we had Mike Bryant on, and he just was like all aglow. So, you know, it's nothing surprising. I think we've got to have you on with Mike Bryant. For Father's Day, have you guys back? Come on. As proud fathers, that'd be a great show. What team do you follow? Are you a Giants fan still?
I follow a lot of teams because I do radio shows and different things like that. And the most time people want to know about quarterbacks and stuff. I was on Colin Cowher's show last week. And
how's Colin?
He's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's a character,
good.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, he was here a lot of years. I know. I didn't know him there.
He was in Vegas for a while.
But, you know, I follow a lot of teams. Obviously, I still root with the Giants, and I get calls back and forth a little bit from them and things like that. But right now, I'm following the Rams for sure. I got to get a side job because of my whole family's coming up. All of our kids and their kids and everybody's coming up. So I'm buying tickets now. And I go, oh, boy.
Yeah, well, I was watching the Dallas Cowboys game last night, and I saw Jerry Jones's son and grandson were in the booth, and they were talking about his grandson. And they played their high school game at the Cowboys Stadium. don't know if you saw it.
I saw Jerry Jones' grandson.
It's Jerry Jones' grandson.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That was wild.
Jeffrey, what are you liking for Thursday and then Sunday?
Well, Thursday, Coach can talk about Thursday's game. We have a big division rival with the Giants going to Philadelphia to play those the Dirty Birds in Philadelphia, the Eagles. You know how that rivalry is.
Oh, well, if you want another quick story, I'll tell you.
We love stories.
People ask me all the time, what was the most gut-wrenching you had as a coach? Which one was really? I said, we had beaten the Philadelphia Eagles 8 straight times. In 4 years, they didn't beat us, okay? Now they're in the playoffs. We've got the home field advantage all the way to the Super Bowl. And who's coming into town is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I thought, oh, boy, if I lose this game, man, they're gonna run me out of town. I mean, you beat them, you know, and I know what the message is going to be. Hey, guys, forget the ones in the past because that coach is telling them we can't get them. We got to go get them this time. And it was a hell of a fight. We beat them. But I always tell people that one was the scariest game I ever coached. I was more nervous about that one than any one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Any playoff game, any Super Bowl?
No. I mean, I was just, you know how New York is, man.
I know,
you
know, I do.
You got the home field advantage. You got the bye. You got everything going to the Super Bowl.
Let's just wrap it
up
now.
And we can't drop this one, fellas. And especially, you know, if we'd have been back and forth, but we beat them 8 straight times for 4 years, and their coach was just reminding them of that.
Absolutely. And you know that the Eagles fans are some of the most passionate, crazy fans in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
They're out of their minds in Philadelphia. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to take another commercial break. A shout-out to our friend Adrian Zemed watching from the U.K.
Adrian!
So he's in the Vegas Nonstop. Take a quick commercial break. Stay right where you are. Like Mondays here, but we've got to deal with it. Coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada, entertainment capital of North America, soon to be the football capital of North America. What do you think? You think we're going to get Raiders?
I wouldn't bet on it.
No?
You got to get 24 votes, and Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft are really behind helping him move here.
Right.
But you got to get 24 passed, okay? Now, my only question I want to know is this. The last guy who moved a franchise without getting that.
Jim Irsay?
No. Al Davis. He moved him to L.A., and the NFL sued him, and Al Davis won the suit. Now, have they changed the rules, laws, or something? Because Al just moved. He didn't ask anybody. He didn't ask anybody, and the NFL sued him. And they went to court, and Al Davis won.
I was going to say, the NFL lost.
You don't hear about that happening too often, do you?
Well, not these days.
Has there been an update on the deflated balls, by the way, with the Steelers?
I'm doing fine right now.
I would love your take on this. We all know the Tom Brady, the Patriots deflated ball situation from 2 years ago with Baltimore and the Colts and how that played out. 2 weeks ago, we had an incident where I believe the Giants took 3 or 4 balls from the Steelers, and they tested low on the balls, like 11 PSI or 10.5 PSI, and yet it got swept under the rug, no big deal.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things going on and how they judge it at that time. Because the Patriots in that game scored more points in the second half.
With the good balls.
With the good balls. Yeah, so don't tell me that influenced it. I played quarterback. Come on. Give me a ball. I can't tell you if it's a little underinflated or overinflated.
You never had a preference as a quarterback if it was harder or softer or easier to grip?
Hell no. When I got the ball from the center, all I wanted to do was get back there and throw it.
Right.
I wasn't going to sit around and wait that. And then prior to that, you know, the NFL watches the games closely. They're all over the field there, okay? They had one time San Diego Chargers, there was Stick'em. And you can't use Stick'em.
Right.
And it was on a ball, okay?
Because
somebody had it.
It's like a pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, they just said, hey, throw those balls out. Nothing happened to them. And then they got Chicago Bears one time on a very cold day with their balls on the sideline. The ball boys had it right next to the heater or heating them up. And they called down, the NFL did, and they should, They called down to whoever was there from the NFL and said, tell them they can't put the balls next to a heater.
But interesting.
They didn't do anything about it.
So. They didn't move their balls?
They kept them warm.
I knew before I said that it was going to sound funny.
So I got no answer for that one, okay?
So from your standpoint, and I want to get this out on the air for all of our Patriots fans out there, Tom Brady wasn't doing anything to tweak the game in his favor in any way.
No, I don't buy it. I think that, every quarterback will tell the clubhouse boys how to get the ball.
Correct.
Okay? You just got to do that. And maybe that they put it right at the bottom of where you can have
it. The gauge,
yep. Yeah, the gauge, and then somehow with a cold or whatever, it deflated. I had one time when I was a coordinator at the Raiders, okay? We're going to go play the Jets.
Was Madden there?
I'm sorry?
Was that during Madden, during John Madden's year?
No. Mike White was the head coach. Anyway, so we were going to play the Jets, and, of course, Al Davis wants to beat the New York teams because he's from there. And so... it was going to be real cold back there, so I told the equipment guy, I said, I want 10 brand-new balls, fully inflated, don't rub them down, and we're going to practice with them. And so we come out there, and Timmy Brown and Hostel, I said, yeah, these balls, man, they're hard.
Like rocks.
They're like rocks.
Yeah.
And I said, that's where the balls are going to be Sunday. That's where they're going to be, so we're going to practice with them.
Smart.
So Al Davis comes out to practice, and he's there, and he goes, Jim, come here. I go over there, and he goes, What's the deal with 10 brand new balls every day? I explained to him because it's going to be cold, and and he goes, "Huh? You know, I never thought of that. That's a hell of an idea." I said, "Okay, well, that's what you pay me for."
Yeah. Now Wednesday, I think it's ESPN. One of the stations, it might be NFL Network, is going to play the Bears. What they call the Fog Bowl. I don't know if you remember that particular game.
Against the Eagles.
They're going to air that whole
Cunningham,
game. And during break, you were talking about a Giants-Eagles game. Is that the game that stands out? I mean, there's a lot of them, but you were telling that story with the Giants, if you want to repeat that story.
Well, that was incredible because we'd beaten them, and you knew what the other coach was saying to them, you know. And we beat them. It was a tough game. I mean, it was a hard-fought game. Now, the next week... when we're playing for the NFC Championship game, we're playing Minnesota Vikings. And those guys could score at will. I mean, they were an air machine.
High-powered offense.
Yeah, high-powered. And
Randy
so
Moss.
The media just set it up for me perfectly. They said, you're going to run the ball and use the clock and slow the game down, aren't you? Yeah, oh, yeah, that's our plan. That's what we're going to do. Slow the game down and run the ball. The whole time we're going... We're going to be ready. We're going to throw the ball because we thought the weakness was the secondary.
That's great.
So all of a sudden, it's 34-0 at halftime. 34-0. And a standing ovation in New York, it was loud. I mean,
and
really
you
loud.
You don't see one in
and
East
everybody's
yeah.
on their feet. So I went to Sean Payton, and I went to Larry McDuff, my special teams coach, and I said, here's the deal, guys. We're going to come out with a starting unit. They're going to play one series. And I want to take control of the game with those guys, and then they're out. Now, Kerry Collins is not going to play one more play. Jason Garrett, Dallas Cowboy coach, he had the second half as a quarterback. And so we were on defense, so I could talk to those two guys and explain it. And I said, I'll tell the team. And then we were going in, John Fox, I said, Foxy, we are going to play the starters one series, and they're all out. Okay? He goes, well, Jim, wait a minute. I mean, these guys can score at will. I mean, they can score fast. I said, if they score 35 points the second half, you're fired.
That's a great story.
Now, you've been in broadcasting. You've been on this side of the microphone as well. Do you like calling color commentary? Do you like calling a game?
You know, I did that. I had the Sunday night game. And
with Marv Albert, right?
Rotating, but yes. Sometimes they rotated guys, but I enjoyed it and I learned. And you know, broadcasting television and broadcasting radio is different. I mean, you got short bites and you got to get your point across. And you're telling people, like I heard some guys on the radio say, "Oh, they're going to play a lot of cover four." You know, and I'm going,
"What does that mean?"
I bet you nobody knows what that means. You know,
exactly.
And so you try to explain it. Well, you have four DBs, and they each one of them have 1/4 of the field. Okay, and then there's a lot more to it. If tight end blocks, one guy will come up.
Right.
But there's four deep, basically. Deep. And I always tried to describe that at the beginning of the broadcast, that it's four deep. There's not a safety up in the hole. There's not that. Then, so when I said that cover four was this or that and whatever, then I think they kind of had a.
At least now they can visualize it.
Yeah.
Even when you just said it, you know, each DB has a fourth of the field. It makes sense. In the secondary, they just cut into fours, and that's who covers what.
Yeah. Jeffrey and I like to. We're going to start something about teaching women how to bet on football.
Yeah.
If nothing else, we'll get to meet more women.
Well, if you think about it, they all hang out with us watching football, and some of them actually really know what they're talking about and follow it very closely. But when it comes to betting the football, which a lot of us do, whether it's with fantasy or straight at the window here in Las Vegas, you know, a lot of the women don't understand the, you know, I'm laying the points, I'm taking the points, the over, the under, parlay, teasers.
A push. I have never bet on a game.
Wow.
Never. Nope. Boy, you get in a lot of trouble when you're coaching.
I was going to say, I can see why you wouldn't.
I called Pete Rose as my first witness.
Charlie Hustle. Is he going to ever get into the Hall of Fame?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I think he should.
He deserves it.
We're here with Coach Jim Fassel. We're here with Chef Rock. We're going to take our last commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on KBET 920 AM. Stay right where we are. Vegas, Nevada, the entertainment capital of North America. And if you're looking for that perfect Christmas present for your girlfriend, your wife, your mistress, or all of the above, how about giving the gift of wine? That's right, you can order a year's supply of artisan wines delivered to your significant other's door. Every month, you can order 4 bottles of red, 4 bottles of white, or 2 and 2 of each. It's almost like Christmas every month. Imagine the look on your special someone's face every month when you get wine delivered right to their door. So I started a wine lovers club with Jeffrey about 2 months ago. We're having way too much fun with our weekly wine tastings. Sign up today by visiting our Vegas Wine Lovers website at VegasWineLovers.com. That's VegasWineLovers.com. Or you can leave me a message at 702-883-1111. That's 883-1111. Join today. Get a special complimentary invitation to our La Jolla wine tasting at La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club the end of January. And that's it. VegasWineLovers.com for the wine lover at your house. 702-883-1111. 883-1111. Give the gift of wine. So, Coach Fassel was here. He had great stories.
What a great guy.
Yeah. Well, now you're in town, and you've been doing your show. Now, we met like 30 years ago doing the Clever Cleaver Brothers.
That's right.
And doing tailgating parties, which I thought was just amazing. A great concept where you would just show up and cook.
Yeah, actually, we ended up doing a lot with the NFL. We did tailgating. We did Gourmet with the Goose with Tony Siragusa for 3 seasons. We did it with the Eagles, the Browns, the Titans. But I have to tell you, the best was the Raiders. We go up to the Raider headquarters, and the producer goes, if you have to go to the bathroom or leave the production area, tell me, because you need an escort. Because if you go by Al Davis's room on your own and he sees you, he's going to jack you up. I mean, he will take you down, and he carries a gun. And we said, yeah, right, sure. So we were shooting all these segments with the players, Rich Gannon, Daryl Johnson, Daryl Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the bathroom, and it was a break, and I didn't see the producer. So me and my partner, Lee Gerovitz, were crawling on the floor under the eave of the doorway of Al Davis's office, and we could see his head. We could see him sitting at the desk, but he couldn't see down. So we're crawling like army guys.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we look up, and the producer's standing there, and he's just beat red. He is so pissed off, and he grabs us by the arm and drags us over.
Oh, really?
And he said, if he saw you, he really would have came out. I'm going, Al Davis, come on, we could take him.
Yeah.
And I go, I don't know. You know, it was a fun time, but the best part was the players. You know, that was the year they were at the playoffs in the Goose. Jumped on Rich Gannon, dislocated his shoulder in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Got to the Super Bowl. Yeah, that was some good times
Coach
with those
Fassel
guys.
Coach Fassel doesn't think the Raiders are going to be here. I do. I think it's going to happen.
I think they got a strong chance.
Yeah, Stephanie and I were with Mark Davis when Ditka was here in town. And I'm just moving over. Ditka was here in town, and I asked one of the guys at the Silverton. I said, "Do you think the Raiders are going to be here in Vegas?" And he said, "Well, if it's any indication, Mark Davis has a 702 exchange on his phone."
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, so Mark Davis is not going anywhere. He's going to be here for quite a while. Yeah. Now, you and I had some great times in New Orleans at the television convention.
The Nappy convention. That
back when television
was television,
when people
baby.
Were spending money on syndicated television.
Oh, my gosh.
We would tear it up. We were in New Orleans a bunch of times. We were out here. I was still living in Chicago.
That's right.
And you guys were always a hit because you always had food.
We had food and babes. Remember
food
we
and babes. We'd
have
great
the two-lane cheerleaders doing cartwheels in front of our booths. Yeah, we had something going on. But now, you know, we retired from that 5 years ago, and I went off as Chef Rock.
Yeah, now you and I are going to team up.
Now we're going to team up, baby. You know, I got the Chef Rock TV show. It's based in Hawaii. And now it's syndicated all over the world. I'm hitting like...
You're all over the world, and you've got some great products. You've got some knives that
That's
are...
That's right.
What's special about those knives? You gave me some, so
well,
I need to know
let
before
Let me tell you, just to back it up, I ran into an old buddy of mine from Nappy, Salvatore Moretti, and we ended up teaming up...
Salvatore Moretti!
An Irish guy on his mother's side.
I love the name of the company.
Goomba Imports. We're just a couple of Goombas trying to make a buck.
I'm an honorary.
You're an honorary Goomba.
Johnny Scatino,
how you doing over there?
How you doing?
So we started Goomba Imports to bring in products to showcase to chefs. Like a broker, but not a broker. So we ended up doing a showcase today, and we had some great products. You know, TurboPot's one of our clients. That's got a patented fin bottom. Easy cooking, fast, efficient, really cool. Beck's Confections.
Do you hear the music?
Oh, I hear. I'm talking over here. Like we started the Goomba Imports because my friend Michael, come over here. Michael.
What about the knives? What's special about
those knives? Those are actually German steel knives. Very nice. Full tong. So when you're looking for a knife, you look for the blade to extend.
All the way
to the back.
Right.
So
what do you look for in a knife?
It's called the tong.
To go right down through the handle as opposed to the blade sitting on top of the handle where it can separate. You want a full piece of steel right through.
And without rivets. Rivets get loose.
Correct.
They break off. Handles break. If you're going to spend that kind of money on knives, Gunther Wilhelm makes a really nice knife. We had those in the booth today, too. Noble Starter, which was really cool stuff. You guys tried that today.
Yeah, we did.
It's basically like a flavor... condensed flavor, I should say, that you could add to any of your dishes.
We had the bow tie pasta with Hawaiian...
That's our no-boil pasta with VJ's Butcher Block, one of our clients and one of my sponsors in Hawaii, makes this venison sausage. And people, when I tell them, venison, where the hell do they get venison? On the island of Molokai?
Yeah, there's a lot of deer.
In Maui. A lot of deer. Axis deer, too. Not the little boys that
prance
around.
Big boys.
I didn't know deer could swim.
Very fast.
You bring a couple over, and the rest is history.
Well, I was just going to say, they're
yes,
like,
deer.
They're like wabbits. They really go crazy over there. There's lots. In fact, here's the funny story about over on the island of Molokai, there's one guy has the license to kill. One guy. And when he goes, he actually coaxes them onto his ranch, and then they basically put him out of their life while they're sleeping. That way, really, the essence of that is that it doesn't release the endorphins.
They're being fearful and chaste. It doesn't stress the meat.
And I'll tell you what, it is like beef. I'll tell you, it's the best venison. So we make a venison Italian sausage.
Sausage.
We do a beef bacon, dry rubbed with Hawaiian salt and smoked with kiawe wood. Unbelievable products. Also, Sandis sauce. I don't know if you guys tried the pulled pork I made.
Yes, I love it.
Oh my gosh. But that was basically a crock pot, a butt steak with a butt roast with the bone in. And then the Sandis makes a blackberry bourbon sauce. And I covered it with that. And that created that juice and those beautiful...
So if any restaurants are in town, and you know, if you want to try the food or you want to get a hold of Chef Rock, you go to the website, which is chefrock.com.
Or Goomba Imports.
Goomba Imports, one of those. Jeffrey, we've got a couple minutes left here. Can you give us our three-pick or four-pick for the week?
We're going to go for
running hot. We're going to be doing G-Money Vegas.
We are going to be doing G-Money Vegas. G-Money Vegas was 3 out of 4 picks this past week. We had the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Pats all winners. Unfortunately, the under and the Bears-Packers game went
over. This week.
But we did hit for 75%. Thursday night, the New York Giants are going to go into Philadelphia and destroy the Eagles. They're laying 2.5. The line is perfect. They win by a field goal, you cover.
Giants.
Here's a game that I also like, and you're going to think I'm crazy. My New England Patriots are at home against the New York Jets. Jets have nothing to play for, but they would love nothing more than to stick it to the Patriots. That's what they're living for right now. And don't ask me why the line is 16.5. I will take the New York Jets with 16.5, and they're going to keep that game within 10 points.
Giants, Jets.
We got, yeah, here's a bold prediction. Cleveland Browns are going to win their first game of the year.
No.
In Cleveland against the San Diego Chargers. Phillip Rivers is going to come in. They have nothing to play for. The team is depleted. They have no running game. Melvin Gordon's hurt. This is where Cleveland makes their mark and gets off the schneid.
16.5.
No. They're only...
Is that what, I thought you said it was 16.5
Cleveland,
points.
Cleveland is +6 at home.
Oh, +6.
+6.
That's all.
That's all. And finally, hold on. I'm looking. I feel like Karnak here.
Yes, Karnak.
Arizona Cardinals are traveling to Seattle. They're going to cover 9 points in Seattle. Seattle's going to be resting some players. They won the division. They're already locked into the 3 seed. And Arizona wants nothing more than to beat Seattle in Seattle.
I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Coach Jim Fossil for visiting.
Oh, he was great.
Great guy. I want to thank Chef Rock.
Mahalo, my brother. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Jeffrey with a G. Everybody eat well, party hard. If you see us out there, please stop in, say hello. Go to any of my sign, at Jonathan Scott LV. Eat well, party hard, my friends.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Monday.